Hear ye, the citizens of CMO Alliance are pleased to announce an episode of CMO Convo for you to enjoy, full of marketing insights and advice for leaders. We're big fans of communities on CMO Convo. After all, we're the podcast for the CMO Alliance community. We know they're great for networking connections, but what role could a good community play in your B2B sales cycle? Dana Salmon knows how they can play a vital role, and she's with us to share where and when they can be effective, how to leverage them, and how to set up and run communities that can drive revenue and sales. Hi, Dana. Welcome to CMO Convo. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, Will?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. Yeah, it's a rainy day in Manchester, but when is it not? But we'll stay dry and warm with a good, healthy CMO Convo today. I hope you're excited for it, Dana.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Let's do it.
It's going to be a fun conversation to have as well, I think, because we're talking about something that I feel isn't given enough like focus in B2B circles, and that's the role of communities. Not just communities in terms of like, oh, let's keep customers engaged, but what functions they play in the sales cycle, because that's always got to be top of mind for CMOs. But before we dig into that really, really interesting topic, Dana, maybe you could tell us a bit about your background and why this topic was such an important one that you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, sure. So I'm Dana Salmon. I'm a fractional full lifecycle marketing advisor. I've been in the marketing game, specializing in B2B SaaS for over 17 years now. And I've pretty much done the whole gamut of marketing, from product positioning, messaging, go-to-market, brand, content, digital, demand gen, communities, and ABM. And I think this topic of communities is very critical to marketers, especially B2B marketers nowadays, is because the market is very competitive and people are looking to grow their competitive edge, whether it's through learning new skills, networking, building relationships with peers, or learning about new innovations that can help them succeed. So communities represent a critical space for all of these needs that the market has nowadays.
Definitely. And I imagine it's going to become more and more important moving forwards. I think communities are going to maybe plug that gap that might appear in people's SEO strategies, people's organic traffic strategies. With the rise of AI, I think communities can be incredibly important to make sure that we're reaching our audiences.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a huge lever to ensure growth. And I mean, we're all kind of longing for authenticity and connection. And I feel like customers, whether it's B2B or B2C, are getting very jaded from marketing messages, whether that's ads or a webinar that's a thinly veiled sales pitch, or a LinkedIn request that's a sales rep trying to sell you something, you know. So people are really longing for that connection with their peers on a professional level, and learning from peers and sharing their own knowledge as well.
Yeah, I think people have wised up to the whole like personalization thing these days. Like people aren't like satisfied just, oh, the email's got my name in it. Oh, they know who I am. Like now that things like AI, again, to bring it up, are in the mainstream, people know about these tactics and tools that marketers are doing. They know that we're not personally addressing every single email to the people that are going out. So communities are going to be that kind of authentic connection that we can build with our audiences.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think marketers tend to oversaturate and overdo things to the point where it just loses all effectiveness because people start seeing through it. But if you come from a place of like respecting your audience and you come from a place of being your customer or your prospect's advisor, their partner, their educator, without being condescending or patronizing, I think companies that succeed in doing that will really win, especially when we're, you know, staring at the barrel end of a upcoming recession that a lot of folks are starting to plan for. You know what? Marketing budgets are going to get cut. Advertising budgets are going to get cut. So how are you going to ensure that pipeline is healthy with all these new challenges presented in the market?
Let's talk about the impact of of communities, on pipeline, on the sales cycle, because, well, the sales funnel even, because to my mind, community seems to be a very, very obvious benefit for the post-sale, for increasing that customer lifetime value, for keeping customers engaged. Like, it's an added benefit to the sale. But what is the function pre-sale? What is the function for prospects and all that good upper, middle, and lower funnel goodness?
Yeah, absolutely. I think creating or empowering your customers with a community is absolutely critical to building trust. I mean, when you're asking a company or someone in who works in a company to make a very big decision, whether it's, you know, rip and replace a piece of software that's $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, train their staff on it and this and that, it's a big risk. So you're asking folks to take a big risk on you. How can they trust you? How do you build trust? But if you've created a space where, you know, you share your skills and your experience with your prospects and your community members, and you highlight them, you feature them, they learn from their peers, and it becomes this hub of learning and discussion, then you build that trust and you alleviate that concern about risk in their minds, because they know they can trust you because you've already shown them value. That's really it. The example of a webinar, you know, I've attended webinars that have been really valuable and I've learned a lot from the speakers and just having the discussion with other folks on there. I've been to webinars that were just a thinly veiled sales pitch, which I did not learn anything about, and it really turned me away from that company. So it's really beneficial in building trust. And the other thing I would say is the customer journey has really changed. Customers are doing their own research. They're learning from their peers on social spaces. You've heard the term dark social. These are conversations that you don't even know anything about. They're private Slack channels. They're talking to their colleagues, their peers, and events, and so on. How are you going to be a part of that conversation even when you're not there? It's by offering values, valuable content, valuable education. Companies really need to guide the customer, but not force them through the company's preferred buying process, if that makes sense. We have to play by the customer's rules, which is, you know, teach me, let me learn, let me trust you first, and then we can have a discussion. I would say another benefit of community, you mentioned the after sales, but even with this pre-sales, I mean, you're building brand awareness with new leads. And if you can get prospects hearing from current customers how great you are and how great your products and services have helped them in their business, that's magic. No ad campaign can buy that, right? So that's really, really powerful. The other thing is when you're launching something new in the market, you have a virtual room or an in-person room of experts where they'll give you feedback right away of like, this is not really top of mind for us, but you know what really is? It's this thing right here. So it really can influence your marketing strategy, your product strategy, your go-to-market, your content. It's a whole bunch of things.
I like what you said about the conversations happening that you're not aware of, because if people want to talk about your product or your company, they're going to find a place to go and talk about that online. Better to have it be in a place where you have some kind of oversight, like by a community that you've helped create. That's got to be a really, really useful tool for that. But just to make sure that you don't want to be jumping in and like censoring the conversation if it is going wrong, but you can at least sort of guide it in a way that you wouldn't be able to do if it was happening on a social channel that you just don't have control of.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we zoom out for a second and look at the buyer's journey, most companies, I forget the specific stat, it was something like 95% of the market is not ready to buy yet. 95%, you know, that's huge. So what do you do to ensure that when they are ready to buy, if you are the right fit, and that's the caveat, what do you do to ensure that they're going to think of you first. You build trust, you become their partner, you're their advisor, and you help become that, you know, empower that peer building network, that community for them as well. Because people also want to grow their own skills and further their own careers. So if you are a critical part of them doing that, they're going to trust you so much more.
Definitely, definitely. And I suppose the other thing with these types of communities is they allow people to sort of become champions within the community for you. Like you can have like these sort of ambassadors, these kinds of really, really passionate people who obviously you can't let them just go off and do whatever they want on the community. So you need some kind of moderation there. But like you have these people who will champion you and will respond to queries and questions with their own insights, which kind of takes a bit of pressure off sort of the custom success team or the content team, because you've got this UGC system going in, providing that kind of value to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And as the community grows, the role of the community ambassador becomes even more critical. Because as you said, you know, they're answering questions, they're engaging, they're keeping the conversation going. And as the community grows, I mean, the moderators might miss something, you know, maybe there's a bad player. I mean, it's rare in B2B settings, but it does happen. So, you know, the ambassador will flag that. Beyond that, keeping a community active and keeping the members engaged is absolutely critical to the success of the community, because silence is the death of community, I would say.
Definitely, definitely. As a community-led company, I'm representing here as well for CMO Alliance. Like, I know that definitely. And I look forward to having a bit more of a chat about those kinds of engagement activities later on. But before we get to that, I just want to touch on one final thing. I'm not sure if this is common practice anymore, but I know historically there were quite a few brands and products in both the B2B and B2C space who used access to the community as sort of like an added bonus to becoming a customer. So you didn't even get access to those communities until you'd actually bought into the product. That's not the way to go in the way we're talking about today, Dana. I just want to make that clear. Like being access to the community shouldn't be an incentive. It should be a way into actually buying the product.
Yeah. I mean, it almost sounds backwards, because you want people engaged with you and your brand and your customers and your partners and your employees. I mean, that's a bonus. I don't understand why people make it like an additional buy-in feature. That sounds backwards to me.
It does. Yeah, it does, definitely. And I think it has moved away from that system, but I think there is still kind of a place for sort of those almost like a VIP section within communities to try and give people a bit of FOMO about like, oh, if we buy in, if we have access to the product, we can get into the cool kids table and sit with them and find out all the fun stuff they're doing. What are your thoughts on that kind of approach?
I think that could work, but as a later kind of strategy, because you need that critical mass in the beginning to have community members. So I'm a member of several marketing communities, let's say, including the CMO Alliance and many others. Some of them are free. I'm also a part of paid communities, and I get value from both communities. I get different value, but the paid ones, I didn't just go in and pay for the membership. I spent like months or even years getting free value, quote unquote, from them through their social media platforms, through the content that they shared, through the events that they had. So I already went in trusting them, because I'm like, okay, I already learned a lot from you and your guests and the experts that you have on, and your other community members are singing your praises. Okay, this is worthwhile for me to invest my time and money into. If someone tries to do that in the beginning without getting that trust, I don't know how successful that would be. But if you already have a critical mass community, whether that's external or internal, and you're creating this sort of kind of VIP tier, that's fine. But as long as the value matches the investment of time and money that you're asking community members to put in.
Definitely, definitely. So you've already mentioned sort of like two broad categories of communities. You have your paid ones, you have your freed ones. But I imagine there's Let's scroll back a bit. Actually, with B2C communities, everyone's pretty familiar with how they work. You have like a social media group where people share posts and stuff, and people like talk about their favorite things about a brand or a product or something like that. I imagine B2B communities require a bit more structure, both in terms of like the purpose of the community and the types of people that you, well, the types of audience segments that you want in those communities. Let's sort of drill down into sort of the different types of B2B communities that are out there that people might want to be setting up for their own brands. You mentioned two sort of broad categories already. That's the paid and unpaid. What are the types of communities a B2B customer is really looking to engage with?
Yeah, I would say there's no kind of cookie cutter approach to building community. It varies greatly by company and industry, by target audience types, and a bunch of other factors. Size of company, also the resources you have available to ensure that conversation is going, will also impact the types and number of communities that you have. So I would just say here, don't try to do too much too soon, because you'll set yourself up for failure. But the broad sort of categories of communities, you have employee communities, user communities, customer communities. Those would be the same type of community, customer, user, developer communities, if you're in the SaaS technology space. You have partner communities, and you have kind of more general educational communities. And these all could be external or internal, depending on the case of the specific company and industry. There's a whole bunch of different types of communities that each company could implement, depending on all of these factors that I mentioned.
And I imagine you can utilize these different types of communities almost at different stages within the sales cycle. The partner communities or the more educational ones, that'd be more the sort of top of funnel kind of thing. But as you get more into sort of late funnel or post-sale, those kinds of employee user communities are being more important. So is that something that people need to think about in terms of setting up these communities, sort of like where they want them to sit within the sales cycle? Or should it be more about what the customers want?
Yeah, I would say it really does vary greatly. If you're dealing with a huge enterprise and you create like one community and all your employees join and your customers join, it's just going to be too big, like too noisy. So in that case, it would make more sense to have like an employee community and a customer community. But if you're a relatively small or medium-sized organization, having a customer community that includes maybe a few partners, but with ground rules of like no pitching, no selling, et cetera, could also work. But it's really about, I think, the size, the target audience, and the goal. I mean, what is the objective of this community? Similar to how we think of B2C communities, yes, there needs to be more structure in B2B communities, but there's a common goal. You know, a travel group, for example, are all there to talk about travel. If someone starts talking about something else, you know, the community members just get, you know, turned away by that, because it's like, we're here to talk about this specific topic. Similarly, with B2B communities, they're united with a common goal, a common idea. It could be that they all use your software and they need help and guidance with that. So that's more of a user community. It could be that they want to learn how to develop their skills. So that's the more of educational community. And so on. So there's kind of different variances of that, depending on the goal, the target audience, and the size and resources available.
And you don't necessarily have to have them on completely separate community platforms and stuff like that, completely separate channels. They can be channels within a community. You can have like different forum wings, that kind of thing, or different channels on like a Slack community, for example.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there are plenty of kind of platforms that you can build a more of an internal community. It could be a LinkedIn page. It could be a Slack channel. It could be a variety of different things.
Definitely. So let's talk about the actual practicalities of running B2B communities. we've kind of touched on this already, but like, what are customers? I imagine it's different depending on the type of community they're looking to join, but let's talk in maybe sort of general terms. Like, what are customers expecting when they join these types of communities in terms of maybe like the engagement they're seeing already, the types of interactions they might have with staff or even other community members? What kind of expectations do they have before they even arrive in the community?
Yeah, I mean, remember, people are taking time out of their day to engage with your community. So make it worth their time. People, customers, partners, whatever target audience we're talking about, are really expecting to have great conversations, to learn, to network, improve their skills, and build connections to varying degrees depending on the community again.
Definitely.
Say, go on,
Dominic. Did you have more to say on that? Sorry.
Oh, no, that's I would say that's the main expectation. But again, it's about offering that value because people are busy and they're taking their, you know, time out of their day to be there and engage with your community.
Definitely. Let's talk a bit more about what engagement looks like on B2B communities. I mean, I think, as I said, people might be familiar with B2C, these kind of engagement activities you can run there, like pretty easy. You can just do like a simple like UGC hashtag driven campaign, that kind of thing, and you can get some really nice results out of that. I can't imagine that being the same in a B2B community. What are your experiences with engagement building activities? As you said, silence is the death of communities. So how do you make some noise?
Yeah. So, I mean, the communities that I've been a part of and also started, the types of activities that were most engaging are those, again, centered around learning, building connections, and very critically, not pitching your product or service. So again, that hub of learning, hub of connection, communication. In terms of types of activities, I really enjoy kind of weekly or bi-weekly casual events. These can be virtual or in person. A lot of the community events I attend now are just virtual, just by nature of the community, because it's international. And there's always kind of a guided topic of discussion, but it's fairly casual, and you know, you have a speaker, but people can jump in and offer their own ideas, and I really learn a lot from these types of events. Also, in-person meetups, if that's feasible for your organizational community, it really depends on regional and international presence. Asking questions, really, you know, what's top of mind challenge? What is the top three challenges that you're dealing with this quarter or this month or this year, whatever it is? And the critical one, I would say, is featuring members, you know, highlight them on your socials, on your website, featured member, so-and-so, you know, really value and appreciate your community members. If you have a podcast or a YouTube channel, you know, feature them on there, because they'll really feel like they're a part of this community, like an integral part of this community. And that's, again, absolutely critical to building and nurturing those types of relationships.
Definitely. I mean, I can only speak with experience on that. The CMO Alliance community has been an excellent source of guests for this podcast. And I think in the reverse as well, we've had quite a few people who have started off as guests on the podcast, but then have gone on to be very prominent members of the community. So it becomes a nice little sort of life cycle for content and community building at the same time. One thing that we found that's been really effective recently is sort of Ask Me Anythings, which have gone really well. They do require a bit of moderation, a bit of time investment to make sure that they are run effectively during the time period you have them up.
Yeah.
Go on. What are you going to say?
Oh, no, I agree. I mean, Ask Me Anythings are pretty pretty effective. I would put that under the kind of like asking question, category, whether it's a poll or just an open forum for members to ask questions.
But speaking of sort of like the level of moderation needed for certain things, and as you mentioned, you're in quite a few international communities. What happens if you don't have someone who can monitor like an international community 24/7? What if you have a very local team, but you have an international community? How can you actually make sure you're running the community effectively when your entire staff is asleep, for example?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few ways to do it. One would be kind of like scheduled posts, you know, put out a question, vary the time zone posting, I would say. So if, let's say, you know, you'll have one a few days a week where you focus on the Americas, a few days a week, that could be one way to do it. The other one is to have, if you have your ambassadors in place, having ambassadors on a different time zone than you could be really helpful, because they can keep that conversation going, flag things that are, you know, could be an issue or problematic while your staff is asleep in the other side of the world.
Definitely. I find the in-person meetups are a good source of ambassadors to represent different time zones and stuff. Like, start them off running a meetup in a certain location, maybe a place where you're not able to get an event there, not able to get boots on the ground, for example. Mm-hmm. And then they become sort of the ambassador, almost like the chapter head for the community in that area. It can be a really fun and interesting way of building up those kinds of connections and those kinds of dedicated members of the community, to sort of let them lead the charge a little bit in furthering the community themselves. Obviously with like guidance and making sure they're staying on brand and they're not discussing stuff that wouldn't reflect the community in a good light. But yeah, like that kind of like autonomy for certain community members, I think, can be a good way of building up the kind of status in the community themselves and also the connection with the brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Reward these people also, you know, it doesn't have to be a monetary reward. It could be a swag bag. It could be a coffee card or something like that. Just a small gesture to show your appreciation for their effort and their time, because, you know, they're not getting paid for this. And they're really helping out your company and your community. So I think just reward them and make sure they feel valued and nurtured and taken care of.
Definitely. And even something as simple as just giving them like a specific icon that they can put on it, like a tag or something they can put mm-hmm. on their name to show that they are like this valued member of the community. I'm not saying you should stop there, but like people can be happy with that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we talked about this mainly from sort of a marketing perspective. Who are the other stakeholders who are important within a business to get a community up and running? Like, do we need like sales involved? Do we need other stakeholders? Like, who are the other departments that marketing needs to be working with on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if it depends on the type of community. Mm-hmm. So for example, partners, let's say you have a partners community, definitely sales need to be involved in that. If you have a customer community, customer success or customer service need to be a part of that community. Product, I would say, because if you're getting insights and feedback from community members on new features, new things that that are missing, things that they're seeing competitors doing, etc., these insights I think can be invaluable for the product team as well. And, you know, it might be good for the leadership team to kind of lurk maybe and just like listen. I wouldn't say like not to take over the conversation, but if you want to kind of sit in the corner and listen to what's going on, that's fine. But yeah, it really depends on the type of community.
Definitely. That's sort of build a bit more on sort of that product angle, because we've talked about a lot in sort of the sales cycle, but let's talk about the role in sort of product development as a little bit towards the end of this conversation. Seems to me community is the ultimate voice of the customer resource. Like, what are your thoughts on leveraging it that way?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've worked with quite a few engineering and product teams in my day, and they really fall into two categories. The I will build it and they will come, you know, I'll just kind of build it in my lab, in my office without any insights, or I'll just get the insights that agree with my hypothesis and I'll just build what I want. But there are really smart product owners, engineers, technical team members know that they're building something for someone to use, to get value from. So getting those insights in the beginning, and, you know, it's not solely going to drive your product strategy, because especially when you're creating a new category or a completely innovative product that doesn't really exist in the market, so customers don't have that frame of reference, it might take a while for people to get used to the idea. You know, Uber, when they first came out, was, you know, people laughed at them when they were pitching it. They're like, are you crazy? Why would anyone do that? Like, we'll just take a taxi. Airbnb, same thing. Like, when you have these kind of category creating companies, customers' feedback might not be that helpful. But for the majority of companies, I would say, that are operating in a fairly established category, getting those insights and that feedback early on can really guide your product strategy, so that you don't spend 6 months to a year building something that customers aren't really thinking about or worried about at this moment, and like missing out on more critical things that your, for example, your competitors might be doing. So having that open conversation, I think, is critical, just to kind of not go down the wrong path when it comes to product development, and make sure it's in line with the market's needs and challenges as well.
Airbnb and Uber are great examples of those sort of employee, I know they're not necessarily employees, but those communities for, I guess, the partners, Airbnb's like owners and Uber drivers to the count as partners. I'm trying to think of a better way of putting them, but yeah, like those communities, I think, are a large part of the success of those brands, like those communities connecting the drivers or connecting the Airbnb owners. So I suppose as well, like having some kind of community for your frontline teams as well, your frontline sales teams, could be really effective, both in terms of making sure that they're staying on message and doing their job properly, but also being able to share sort of the feedback that they're getting from customers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're kind of in a bit of hot water nowadays. That's what I mean with the kind of feedback loop, to keep that open. So what the Airbnb CEO did, which I thought was quite clever, I mean, as I said, you know, the company's kind of in a bit of hot water nowadays. But what he did was he traveled around and he stayed in different Airbnbs with kind of like a pseudonym. And he kind of saw the problems that the community was complaining about firsthand, because people were saying, you know, the spaces weren't clean, I was expected to do too much, I'm getting charged all these different fees that don't make sense, et cetera. So learning about that from a first person experience or point of view, I think will help them kind of hopefully solve these problems and continue their growth. So online communities or these virtual types of communities for hosts and customers, in the case of Airbnb, is kind of like the virtual version of that, because you're speaking directly to the hosts or customers or what have you.
Definitely. So Dana, we've covered a lot here. Let's see if we can pull things together in terms of really selling the power of communities for B2B sales cycles. What do you think are sort of the golden rules that you need to follow and the pitfalls that you need to avoid? Like, maybe if you've got like three of each, maybe to bring everything together, but no worries if you haven't got that many, because that is six things to come up with right now at the end of this podcast.
Oh, no, that's totally fine. I would say, building a community, don't try to do too much too soon. Know who your target audience is and what they want, their goals, their challenges, etc. Make sure your internal stakeholders are bought in. And this will really help, you know, put in a process to capture that feedback and those insights. Make sure you have a moderator to ensure the community's engaged. Remember, silence is the death of the community. Make sure that the community's engaged and everyone's being respectful, and there are no kind of issues in that sense. In terms of common mistakes, like I said, don't do too much too fast. I think that's a main one. And, you know, not having a goal, or having too many goals, trying to be everything for everyone, and trying to pitch your service or product. Sharing like new features is different. I would say you're not trying to like sell them. They're just, you know, presenting that information. But don't, you know, common mistakes is like trying to pitch. And also be unique. Like, what is the unique value that you're offering your audience? If you don't have one and you're just another run-of-the-mill community, it's going to be difficult for you to attract and engage community members.
Awesome. Some great best practices and some great mistakes to avoid right there. Thank you very much, Dana. I'm fully convinced of the power of community, and I think our audience definitely should be by the time they're done listening to this. So thank you very much for your time today, Dana. I really enjoyed this conversation.
Thank you. I really enjoyed speaking with you, Will.
Well, thank you for joining me, and thank you very much to our audience as well. We'll be back soon with some more CMO combos. Like what you heard in this CMO combo? Make sure you hit that subscribe button and leave a rating so the whole world knows how great it was.